What do a research psychologist, hospital operations manager, journalist, and thespian have in common? Well, they all work at Cambridge 7 now, of course. Not everyone knows what they want to be when they grow up, and not everyone at Cambridge 7 knew they wanted to be an architect or a designer. Join us for a candid conversation of how four talented current team members at Cambridge 7 made major 180-degree career changes and found true creative satisfaction in this rewarding profession. First question for you is, what industry were you in / studying before you got into architecture?
I was in academia. I was actually in a PhD program in the University of Maryland studying developmental linguistics. So I was in that program for 4 years and teaching university psychology classes at the same time. So I taught developmental psychology and I taught research and methods for those years.
Okay, that's very different than what you do now.
Yeah, it is very different.
Yeah.
I was in healthcare, not as a healthcare professional, but a variety of jobs, and for over 25 years, actually. It wasn't so much a career choice as, I was in New York City, I was in college, it wasn't working out. The Vietnam War was on, I got a very low draft number. When I dropped out of school, I lost my deferment, my student deferment, and I applied for conscientious objector status. I put all my stuff in a U-Haul van and drove to Boston, found a studio apartment, and walked around the medical area until I found a job. So I started, in housekeeping and in the orderly pool, and every time I was ready to leave, I got a promotion. So I ended up, before I left, I was a department head, basically, and I had about 50 people working for me doing supply chain logistics, printing, receiving, and, so it was a decent job.
I studied theater and film, and I was mostly interested in costume design and set decorating and some set design, and so that's what I did for my undergraduate work, and I worked in that for about 2 years after my undergraduate work. And I worked for a children's theater, designing their costumes and acting in their shows. I still love that world. I might do a little set design when I retire or when my kids get a little older. It's fun. It's a fun world to live in and work in, but that's my background.
So, broadly speaking, journalism, 18 years. Now, let me rephrase that, because it's 18 years, but I had already gone back to school part-time for 3 of those years. So I was working in journalism still while I started going back. So I was in transition for 3 of those years.
Why did you decide that architecture design would be a good place to go to?
It was 4 years in, and I've been to several conferences and have paper published and passed dissertation, candidacy defense. And then suddenly had a realization that no, this is not what I want to do in the future. Because after, especially the last 2 years in that program, the conferences that I've been to, just all the research topics and the whole field seems to be, it's not very satisfying. And I just wanted to have a career that is more involved with reality and tangible matter than brain research.
Actually, and I always had a hobby interest in architecture, bought a lot of books, did a lot of reading, but never thought I'd make a career out of it. And I ended up, going to career counseling and doing the Myers-Briggs. And they said, yeah, architecture's for you.
Oh, no kidding.
And by the way, the BAC you know, late enrollment ends tomorrow, go down there and take an intro class. So that's what I did.
Well, I was actually living in London, and I got a job. I actually went to apply at the Museum of the Moving Image, which was his museum in London, and I knew from going there, it was one of my favorite museums that I'd ever been to. I just took tickets there, which ended up taking tickets for the museum as well as their film theater. So I got to work at the London Film Festival, just taking tickets and watching movies. So working in that world, I also talked to the designers of the exhibits, and I thought it was a really interesting path.
Yeah, well, you know, there was a lot that led up to it. I had an undergrad degree in journalism, and I started working in newspapers, local newspapers, on a part-time basis. And newspapers are sort of like an apprentice system where you'd be happy to get a job somewhere, they pay you nothing and work you to death, basically. Mm-hmm. So I did that at several places and decided that was a hard road. So I transitioned into covering business, being more of a specialty reporter, and worked for a wire service for a while. So essentially it's an organization that covers news, and there are member newspapers who pay a fee mm-hmm. to get access to the stories that are written by that okay. organization. Okay. So I did that, but I did coverage of business and technology.
Okay.
And through that, wound up more in the technology industry, and ultimately, I'm compressing time here a little bit, and ultimately wound up at a web startup called CNET.com, which is still around, CNET.
Yeah.
CNET. Yeah. And I was one of the first employees. CNET was ultimately acquired by CBS, the television network, mm-hmm. and Viacom, much larger company. So I went from a startup, I was one of the first 100 people hired, to a company that was 15,000 people. And toward the end of this, I was spending all of my time managing people and none of my time editing or writing. And I decided I really didn't want to do that for a living. And I had an interest in design and construction, and I had done furniture design. I actually had gone to school for a furniture design program at a school in Boston called the North Bennett Street School. Mm-hmm. And had done that for a while and realized you couldn't really make a living doing that. It's a really hard way to make a buck. And said, how else could I express this in architecture? It always appealed to me, and I thought, if I'm going to make a break, I might as well do something big, and that's what I did.
Out of all the other careers you could have picked, how did you land on architecture?
I always liked art and design, and in undergrad, I took a lot of studio classes. I had a minor in studio art, so when considering changing career paths, that came to mind. But I didn't have enough confidence to think that art and design can be a sustainable career for me. And then at that time, I met someone in Boston who just joined BAC and said that Boston Architectural College accepts anyone who applied. That you gotta be strong enough to stay in to graduate, because at that point, graduation rate is 8%. And I think it's a good opportunity to be able to switch right away and think that I had enough persistence to push through a 5-year program.
It took what I really loved about theatrical design too, in telling stories. In looking at the psychology of the story, what kind of emotions we want the visitor to feel or relate to, and you know, especially for exhibit design, just telling a story through the space, and so it really intrigued me. Like I think I really just wanted to see if I could do that, and so I ended up moving to Washington D.C. I got an internship at the Smithsonian. That was kind of my foot in the door, and then ended up going back to graduate school at the Rhode Island School of Design in their interior architecture program. And one of the tracks in the interior architecture program, one of them was actually theater design, and another one was in that same program, and the other one, another one was exhibit design.
So how did you, like, find your way through that transition from linguistics into architecture? Did you find it challenging, or did you find it refreshing?
It's definitely a different schedule.
Yeah.
And, yeah, a lot less sleeping. A lot more work. It was tough, but it was enjoyable. I was in sleep deprivation the first year in architecture program for sure. But because of that program was so demanding, I didn't really have time to think otherwise. All my energy was going into studio classes and trying to get assignments done. So it was, that forced me to transition. And then at the end of the year, first year, I got a job. So that takes the rest of it. I'm in architecture for sure now.
And how did you navigate that transition from your previous role at the hospital into the architecture field?
I ended up doing continuing ed at the BAC for about 2.5 years. I'd take like one or two classes at a time in the evening while I was working at the hospital during the day. And I got some tuition reimbursement for it from the hospital, which was fabulous. And then I finally decided I was ready, you know, that this was successful, because I was very worried about how I would do in school after all that time and not working out the first time. So after, you know, 2.5 years of this, I decided I was ready to leave the hospital.
Yeah. So what kind of job did you have that first year? It was at an architecture firm?
Yeah, it was a firm. Started out surveying, which is a pretty dry job, but good for an entry-level person to learn more about what's really going on in the field rather than you know, theoretical designs. So I surveyed all the Boston partner hospitals for their ADA compliance and did a package of what improvements can be done to fix all the non-compliant components. So that was a 5-month effort, and after that they hired me full time.
So you decided to go back to school to study design. You were still working, so when you graduated design school, how did you enter the career field of design?
Well, it was a terrible time to enter the architecture field because essentially everyone had been laid off. It was like 2009-10, and there was a recession in the business. But at the time, I was working, I was at school in Mass Art, and a firm called Ad Inc. had designed a new dorm for Mass Art. And I went on a tour of the dorm very pointedly. My plan was to find somebody from Ad Inc. and talk to them and convince them to give me some kind of job. You know, found out that they were hiring people and wound up getting a job there. And that's my first job.
Is there anything that you wish you had known about the architecture industry before you transitioned into it, or is there anything that kind of surprised you about the industry?
It will be good to know is the job is interesting for sure, because if you're in a firm like Kimber 7 and projects are pretty diverse and clients are diverse, then every job you do, you're learning about a new industry, how they function, what programs goes into their daily work, and now I'm also learning about animals and kids and museums, and so that makes the work not repetitive, and it's challenging but very, very interesting.
The only thing I could think of is that it did kind of surprise me the level of detail that we have to monitor. So once you get into construction administration, and there's so many like Excel spreadsheets, and you know, with all the graphics in the exhibit work, all the the electrical outlets, and there's just, there's a lot of detail, a lot of coordination that can be a little bit tedious, you know, in doing that. And you know, I enjoy doing that because it's part of telling the story, but I think that's the part that I didn't expect coming into it. It's just that it just takes like so long to actually, you know, like develop that design, goes through like a value engineering process where things are cut, and you know, it just, that whole process from beginning to end was a little bit of a surprise to me, that how different that is from what I knew in theater design, where, you know, it's like 6 months from beginning to end. You have to meet with the director, you have to design it, you're building as quickly as possible, it's up. Where for exhibits and architecture, they, you know, the projects last a lot longer, which is great, but they take a lot longer to get built. I also do a lot of sustainability work, and there's a lot of kind of tedious tracking of details. But I find that when I'm doing it for sustainability, I have a lot more energy. Like I'm much more excited about doing that. It feels like really important. That's one thing I love about Chamber 7, is I can work a little bit in architecture and a little bit in graphic design and a little bit in exhibits. And so it makes it exciting still to be able to work in all those worlds. And I'm not sure that there's any other firm anywhere where I could do all of those things.
All right. So are there any like skills you developed in your previous life that you think really help you in your current roles?
I think having experience doing imperial research helps in a way that my way of solving problems are pretty systematic and methodical, and I can, I guess, like extract essential information and have a plan with priority to tackle these things very quickly. I don't get sidetracked by details that's not priorities very often.
Well, actually, it was interesting working at Beth Israel, because I ended up on committees, you know, with facilities, and you know, when we had a new building going or renovation going, I'd end up being in the committee that was talking to the architects and working through stuff. It was interesting seeing how that process worked and how complex it was and how many different pieces had to fit together. And I think, I mean, that was sort of true of some of the things that I was doing too. I mean, there was a lot of client-customer relationship and a lot of employee relationship. There was just a lot of, I think I got a lot of people skills out of that, in terms of working with people at all different levels and having really a lot of respect for everybody who was part of the process. Because everybody has their, you know, the thing that they know and the thing that they're good at, and if they take things seriously, then you know, they're easy to get along with, and you can, you know, it's easy to deal.
Yeah, I think the main thing is, I already kind of talked about it, but just that whole mindset of really telling a story through the design, and like the experience of looking at a script and figuring out what's important in that story. What are the things that we want to be really obvious about with the audience, and really hammer them on the head and tell them, like, this is what you need to get out of this story, and what are the things where you want to be more subtle, and really looking into the psychology of the, like, how do we want people to feel, how can we tell this story and really emotionally connect to the people. I think that's something that's really explicit that you really need to do for in theater and film design. You know, that's your mission, and it's been fun to take that into exhibit design. I think that, you know, any good designer would do that, but I think more about that because of my experience in theater and film. That's one thing I learned from my background.
And it's also, you know, like it's working in teams, which you do all the time in journalism. It's being organized and everyone knowing what they're supposed to be doing so that you can get something done for a deadline. And that's, journalism is all about deadlines.
Okay, that was awesome. And those were all the questions.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for participating.
So I've had a good time.
Yeah, sounds like it. Okay, awesome. Thank yeah, thank you.
Very good.
Awesome. Well, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.